Time for Green Country Gardener on K1 AM 1400 and 93.3 FM. Green Country Gardener brought to you by OK Federal Credit Union, Green Thumb Nursery, Jensen Tractor Ranch, Peter's True Value, American Heritage Bank, Bartlesville, Pahuska, Barnstall, and the Osage Region, Enterprise Sod Store, and Overlee's Woods Lumber. If you have a gardening question for Larry Glass, call 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. And now, the man with the emerald thumb, Larry Glass. And Adventures in Gardening, edition number 2016, kicking off. Good morning, Larry.
Charlie, good morning. Good to see you.
Yeah, nice to be here. And a high in the upper 40s. That should take care of most of the particulate matter that might be still sitting around the ground someplace.
Yes. Residue of what came when you were out of town.
Yes. There was a reason, apparently, that I was out of town.
Yes, exactly. We need a little bit of rain. I had
right.
six inches of rain in my gauge.
Well, you're better off than the folks around the St. Louis area. So, yeah.
They had a lot more than that. Yeah.
Matter of fact, their records there were... Or they were breaking records that were set during the flood of the August of 93 when my Air National Guard unit was activated most of that summer for sandbag duty along the Mississippi.
Jeez.
Yeah, so.
Anyway, it's good to have a bit of rain at this time of year.
Yes, it is.
It makes the plants. Oh, by the way, congratulations on your grandchild.
Well, thank you very much.
You got a lot of hugging in on this new year.
As much as I possibly
and
could.
And I hope you had a great new year. I had a great new year celebration.
Good.
This year with some friends. We had a good time.
Good. Glad to hear it.
Oh, well, anyway.
Yes.
Back to what we're doing. Oops.
Oh, yeah.
There, that's better.
Oh, okay.
headphones got a little cattywampus there.
It happens occasionally. But that means that maybe a few people, got some houseplants they weren't familiar with. We'd probably take a few calls for that.
Oh, exactly. But, yeah, the rain, though, is when we have good moisture in the ground, the trees and the shrubs do a lot better when it comes to the cold. Because a lot of people forget to water the plants in the winter.
Well, normally we think of the winter as the things being dormant, brown, not growing much. Mm-hmm. And therefore, we don't need to do anything for them.
Exactly. Wrong. No, you just have to maintain them just like the air. And traditionally, the wintertime is the driest time of the year here.
Mm-hmm.
It's when we have the least amount of precipitation,
yes.
Believe it or not. After this week,
Well,
and there's more coming next week.
Even in areas that get a lot of snowfall, several feet of snow only translates out to just a few inches of water equivalent.
Exactly. But when the snow melts, it soaks into the ground real well. It doesn't run down the curb.
Yeah.
So that has a big impact. You remember this last year when we had a whole bunch of little rains, and they came in slowly. We didn't have the big cloud busters.
That's right.
And that was a lot better for the ground than just having it all at once.
Because
our soil is kind of heavy here. And sometimes it takes a while for the water to seep into the ground.
It does. It kind of sits on top.
It kind of sits off and just runs off. But if it comes slowly like that, it soaks in the ground. Mm. But we're very well moistured right now. So
okay. So apparently we won't have too many drought issues for the next 2 or 3 months anyway.
It doesn't look likely with this El Nino thing going on.
How does that affect the ground moisture as you see it at the plant level? I know we talk about it for major agricultural crops, but sometimes that's different than what you're looking at.
Well, a lot of our plants are relatively shallow rooted.
Yeah.
So some periodic rain is very important. The big trees, your big old oaks and elms and all that around here, they can survive a drought and they just look happy as can be when it's dry as a bone out there. but they have roots that go way down deep. But our shrubs and our azaleas and things like that are just not as deeply rooted, and they're more reliant on the surface water. And we can help that a lot by mulching and letting the soil dry out so quickly by adding mulch to the ground.
Okay, which is one reason why I seem to hear a message of mulch about 11 and a half months out of the year.
You bet.
The other 2 weeks it's raining.
It does help stabilize the moisture and the temperature of the soil too.
Okay.
So you still want to be conscious of the water levels in your shrub beds. A lot of the shrub beds are limited in how much water they can get from rain, in that the eave of the house is a little bit wider in some cases. So, and it takes a while for the water to diffuse, or sometimes it never does.
Sometimes we don't think about that. You look out at the yard and we say, oh yeah, I got puddles out there in the yard, so everything must be good. You forget about those plants that are underneath the eave that maybe only got 10% of what actually fell.
Yeah, there wasn't much wind associated with the rain, so it didn't blow in there.
No.
So yeah, there's going to be some dry spaces. Even now there are going to be some dry spaces around close to the house. So keep an eye on that, and if you have shrubs in that zone, look at them and see if they're a little bit on the dry side.
Okay, so ignore the rain and just look at the plants.
Exactly. Oh, golly. Now's the time of year, of course, to mulch your beds, transplant your shrubs that are in the wrong place. I've got some nandinas I got to move because we're going to make the patio bigger this winter.
Oh, congratulations.
If I can get it. If it'll ever stop raining, and or if it's warm enough, I can get out there and dig.
Yeah.
So I have to do that. And
okay.
The peonies, mm-hmm. Time to move those. I've got to move the peonies out of the way.
Okay.
The heritage ones have been with the house for 30 years. They've already been divided once, and now they've got to be divided again.
But is this the best time of year, I'll say the next 3 months the best time to do
it
that
is.
Sort of thing?
Very good time.
Okay.
Exactly. So you want to think about that, too. If you got the plant that's too close to the door or just something just in the wrong place,
yeah.
And you want to move it, now's the time to do that. It's kind of time also, too, to divide some of your perennials as well. Your iris can still be done.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I've got a bunch of iris that I need to move the other side of the nandinas, better than they are now. So I've been meaning to do that for about 3 months. But
you've been busy.
Yeah, very busy. So anyway, time to do hardscapes such as waterfalls, walkways, and patios. I had to redo the walkway going into the backyard because
mm-hmm.
a mole got underneath it. And he decided that sand underneath there was really easy digging.
Well, yeah.
And he ruined it. So I had to take it all up, and we took out the sand and put in decomposed limestone and packed it down real good.
Okay.
And I don't think he'll get into that.
How did you rid yourself of the mole, or have you?
Haven't yet.
Oh. Okay.
That's one of the biggest questions. And that was actually the topic of conversation at the New Year's, is what do I do about these moles?
Well, I hear the advice you give when people call, but it's just still a matter of what does Larry do?
You know? What do? I set my mower up.
Yeah.
No, really. And they'll have their fill of what's not in my yard and go away.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't had too many mole problems lately. Of course, there aren't very many. They're kind of quiet right now.
Yeah.
And you get occasional one here and there, but there's just nothing there for them. Just rock. So they go away.
Hey, if there's no food, move on.
Exactly. But there are several ways to control. There's the castor bean oil. Castor oil.
Right.
Yeah. Castor oil works rather well. And then there's the poison worms,
mm-hmm.
which imitate a worm
right.
in flavor.
They're not real worms. We haven't done anything to the livestock. these are plastic worms, right?
Well, no, they're made of a gelatin
kind
of material, and they have a worm flavor in them. Doesn't sound too good.
Okay.
Sounds like some of my cooking.
I don't know. Your jelly always seems to grow up.
Yeah, no. And they're kind of toxic to the little critters.
Mm-hmm.
And you put them in their little... dig a little hole, put them in there, and they go away. And there are mole traps, too, that will work, too. So there are several ways to control them.
Okay.
So you really have to, and the little vibrating things. Some people swear by those, and some people think they're total quackery. So it just depends on your experience. Mm-hmm. And you just have to try several methods.
Okay. Well, we'll take your calls as we usually do on Green Country Gardener. Invite your phone calls for Larry Glass on AM 1400. Give us a call, 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936, and we'll take your calls in just a moment.
It's never too early or too late in the season to add indoor tropical plants and cactus to your home. Right now, Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has tropical and indoor plants and a variety of cactus to choose from. For outdoor landscaping, Green Thumb has trees and shrubs to choose from at 30% off. Clay pots are on sale too. And while shopping Green Thumb, be sure to check out their large selection of sale items. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on the Water Road. Open Friday and Saturday only from 10 till 4.
Celebrate the first of the new year with first of the month kickoff savings at United Supermarkets. You'll find unbelievable doorbuster savings just in time for those New Year's resolutions, new beginnings, and fresh starts. Don't miss out on these outstanding New Year first of the month kickoff savings specials on 16-ounce Seabest large cooked shrimp, a low $5.99 each. Premium veggie tray with dip, $7.99 each. Farm-rich appetizers, two for just $9. And Jiffy Corn Muffin Mix, two for only 88 cents. See your United ad or in-store for more specials and details. Don't miss United's New Year's first of the month kickoff savings. Too good to be true, but only for a limited time. And only at your neighborhood United Supermarkets, home of the personal touch. Happy New Year.
AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1, Green Country Gardener. And yes, we opened the phone lines and it started ringing right away. Good morning. You're the first caller for 2016. What can we do for you this morning? Good morning, caller. Well, okay, they didn't stick around. Let's try this line. Good. And they didn't stick around on that line either. Okay, 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. And we'll put you on the air right now. Good morning. You're on Green Country Gardener. What can we do for you today?
Yes, I have a question for Larry.
Yes, sir.
With the amount of rain that we've had this winter, this fall and winter, will that have an effect on the weed problem in our lawns the coming spring?
Well, very much so. You will have you won't have any more weeds than you would have had if we didn't have the rain, because the weeds were already there when it rained. But
they'll grow faster.
They'll be faster and healthier. Yes.
Bigger and stronger weeds.
Bigger and stronger. Get ready for it. Yep. So when it warms up this winter, and do you have Bermuda grass?
Yes.
When the Bermuda grass is dormant, and when it gets really warm, it does now and then. It'll get up to 70 degrees here in January, February.
Not this week, but okay.
Yeah, but when it does.
Yeah.
Get the Roundup out. You can zing them with some Roundup when the time comes.
All right.
And right about the end of February, first of March, you can start using broadleaf killers. It gets more consistent.
I didn't know to wait till they came up and get a start on them before they got a start on me.
Yeah, so take advantage of a warm weather situation we have now, number one, and number two, the fact that the Bermuda grass is dormant. You can take advantage of both of those situations and do a post-emergent herbicide Roundup application at that point.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the phone call. Roundup, I think you said around 70. I would say it's would not be effective today.
It would not work today because the weeds really haven't matured very much yet anyway.
Yeah.
But when you start to see them peeking above the grass, it's when it's time to start controlling them. And typically that happens about 30 days from now.
Okay.
About middle of February or so. First of February, middle of February.
So somewhere as we're thinking about Valentine's Day anyway.
Exactly. And then as it gets more consistently warm and your grass starts to warm up, starts to wake up rather, for the spring, then your ability to use Roundup is significantly diminished about the middle of March, first of April or so. It's just the Bermuda grass is peaking up here and there.
Okay.
And you might do some stolen damage on it and cause some issues. But when it's really in extreme dormancy like it is now, then, if you see some weeds, you can whack them down. Also, if you have fescue grass in your Bermuda grass, some people say, oh, I don't want that fescue.
Yeah.
You get that hard fescue in there, and it kind of disrupts things after you mow it. They can be controlled in the wintertime also.
Okay, same method?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the glyphosate. And remember, when you use Roundup, anything that goes past the needle or the needle or the leaf into the ground is totally wasted.
Yeah.
So it doesn't take a big gushy stream of Roundup. Just a mist spray or a small hand sprayer works very well to control it. A hose and sprayer, I don't always recommend using a hose and sprayer on Roundup, but it's just because so much is wasted.
More is not better in this case.
Exactly.
Okay.
So it's very effective in controlling plants, but you don't have to go overboard with it.
Okay, 918-336-1400, 1-800-749-5936. With this rain, like the caller said, you may or may not get any more weeds, but they're going to grow faster and be stronger. What else will happen because of the plentiful rains that we've had recently?
Well, it'll have a positive effect on our trees, yeah, really. And insect populations, they might be augmented a little bit, just because there's more stuff there to live on.
Yeah.
but that's coming up.
Okay. What else is, what's going on now that you have, I'm sure, rid yourself of all the vast poinsettia plant population you had at the nursery?
Yeah, the poinsettias are sold. They're gone.
Yeah.
And right now we're bracing for the greenhouse for the incoming geraniums that we're starting out back.
Okay.
So they'll be coming in pretty soon also. We've got all kinds of other succulent plants we're starting. And just tons and tons of perennials.
Mm-hmm.
So that's beginning to be the production right now. We got a bunch of pots in and some soil, potting soil for those pots.
And I'm sure it varies species to species, but generally how long from the time you start them until they're actually on the shelves? About 6 weeks?
Yeah, about anywhere from 6 weeks to 2 months to 3 months, actually, depending on the species of the plant, how fast it grows and all that. So they have to be ready for sale. In other words, when you take them out of the container, the roots have to extend into the entire container so the root mass holds together when they're transplanted. Otherwise, if that root mass falls apart, it's too much of a shock on the plant and mm-hmm. you get loss. So we like to sell them when they're really well rooted. And mm-hmm. some people, they might want something like right now. And I said, well, those generally aren't available for a little while because they're kind of slow.
Yeah.
And they're just not rooted in all the way. Yeah. In other words, they won't survive the transplant.
Yeah. Well, even if they kept it as a potted plant for a while, they may not enjoy it as much as if they'd waited a little bit.
True. Mm-hmm. So the geraniums, they're coming along. And new other things. So there's always something going on out back in the production area.
Yeah, but I'll bet your computer desktop is probably pretty busy working on landscape plans.
It is. I've got just a few of them on the board right now, so it's not that busy, but it will be in April.
Oh yeah.
So this is the time of year I work on new stuff in the program, new ways to do things. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay.
Kind of interesting. So anyway, that's coming up too. Spring is coming up. So yeah, speaking of landscape plans, that's mm-hmm. a good time to think about getting that done.
It is. You stop by, do a site survey, and probably pick up some other computer resources through, I don't know, Google Earth or some other way to look at somebody's home and mm-hmm. kind of get a graphic representation of it.
It depends on the scale. I take the digital camera and I take a bunch of pictures while I'm there, and lets me come back. And typically the house is modeled.
Mm-hmm.
Or in the 3D modeling program, and it's your house is basically virtually built in the computer. It's fun.
Cool.
All the driveways and sidewalks and the windows and the shutters and so on are put in there. Decks and fences, trees, existing trees, so on is added on there. Even the roof line of the house is copied. So it's kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And it lets you see exactly what your house will look like in your landscape. And sometimes I can come with plan A, plan B, plan C, just by layering it up on the drawing or doing a progression of phase one, phase two, phase three, and see how it will look at phase one, phase two, and phase three.
And then also kind of give a time progression. So this is as it is as we plant these shrubs, these trees, these mm-hmm. whatever, and then this is what it'll look like in 5 years or whatever.
50 years,
well,
yes.
Well, 50 years, it's mostly all dead.
No, you can do it. Oh. You can do a time growth on that too. The software does a fair job of that. It, mm-hmm. it kind of makes 10-foot-tall monkey grass now and then.
Okay.
there's a thing that you have to set all the age the same on the plant so they'll progress properly. So anyway, it's a learning curve with that.
Yeah.
So.
But it's still a feature that you can not only say this is what it looked like when we planted it, but this is how it will. Trees and shrubs expand. They take up more room in the garden than they used to.
They do grow, and you look on the label of the plants too. It shows the height of the plant. As say, for instance, a dwarf yaupon holly, they say, well, they'll get 3 feet tall. But that's, you know, it's pretty tall.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, golly, that's 10 years down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also, you know, cut them back to control them
right.
too. So. And there are other varieties that don't get that big, but don't let that scare you because that's mature height on the plant, and
right.
it takes a while to get there.
Mm-hmm. mean, a lot of other things around your garden can change in the meantime.
Exactly. So, and you can see that. I can, if I were to show most landscape plants what they look like when they went in, I probably wouldn't sell very many. So what I do is a 5-year maturity on it. See, this is what it's going to look like in 5 years.
Okay.
So it might be a little smaller than that. If you want it to look like that now, it'll be just outrageously expensive. Because you can get, seven gallons.
The customer is right. Plants. If that's what they want, you'll sell it to them. Yeah.
Yeah, you can get the huge plants, but there's a big price attached to that because it takes more time to grow them.
Oh, sure.
So so they get very expensive. So I try to keep the initial size of the plants to the point where they'll grow up and be similar in growth and stature and importance in the landscape as they get older.
Okay, so if that's something that you would like to at least see what your house could look like, get a hold of Larry and he will prepare the plan for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good.
Yeah.
Trimming trees right now.
Yeah, unless they bloom on old wood.
I got a ladder out and got into my plum trees and found some conflicting wood. got it back and then trimmed them back really good.
Some of those conflicts get pretty loud. They may have disturbed the neighbor's dog or something.
I bet so. But anyway, I trimmed them back. I just had too many plums last year. So we'll have a lot this year. But I looked at my cherry trees in the backyard, and they've got a lot of spurs on them. So if you stay in town in spring,
okay,
and it doesn't rain so much, then I should have some really nice cherries on the trees this year.
Well, they're with a granddaughter out of town, there are more reasons to leave, so maybe we'll get more rain.
So we'll probably have a gully washer all spring. Oh, golly. And another thing I look for is damage from insects. I did notice some borers on the plum trees. Mm-hmm. So when it warms up, I'm going to start hitting them with the, not the imidacloprid, you don't want to use that.
No, that's
that's a fruit.
If you wanted to use something about bacterial,
then spinosad works very well. Yeah. Okay, it's a bacterial type thing, and you use that on them, and that'll control them. It's sold as a borer and tent caterpillar killer, and it does. It's pretty broad spectrum insecticide. It's very safe to use too.
Okay, and then BT is still available for fruit trees and that sort of thing.
Fruit trees, yeah, on the little worms that crawl around and gnaw into your fruit. Yeah, but I had really good luck with the. With the spinosad on my fruit trees this year, very very little worms on the plums.
That's great.
Whereas the year before, the whole crop was just about eaten up with these caterpillars. But this year, it didn't have hardly any.
Okay, 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. We'll continue with Larry Glass in just a moment.
Finding a new home is hard enough, so financing one should be easy. At American Heritage Bank, we believe buying a home should be a smooth, enjoyable experience. Whether you're thinking of buying your first home, looking to upgrade to the home of your dreams, or wanting to refinance your existing home, we have a solution that's right for you. Visit us online at ahb-ok.com today. American Heritage Bank, simply better lending. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
If your yard is not flourishing, consider this. Talk to the experts at Enterprise Sod Store. They will tell you that sod is the answer to an instant yard and is mostly weed-free. Enterprise Sod has three kinds of sod, Bermuda, Zoysia, and Fescue. They'll pick up and deliver your sod and train you how to install and care for your sod. If you're a current or new homeowner or a landscaper or contractor, call the sod experts at Enterprise Sod Store 918-333-6888. Stop by and see them at 3410 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville.
Hurry into Peter's True Value in Dewey and take advantage of special stock-up prices and all-purpose batteries. Right now, get your choice of Duracell, Copper Top, Alkaline batteries. Choose a 16-pack of AA or AAA batteries for $9.99. Or for $10.99, get an 8-pack of CRD batteries or a 4-pack of 9-volt batteries. Rely on these batteries to charge flashlights, remotes, portable electronics, and more. Get these bargains of the month while supplies last. Peter's True Value. Behind every project is a true value.
Ring,
Well, the temperatures aren't as winterish as they have been or could be, but we still are in that winter time.
It's 27 degrees.
Yeah.
That's winter.
It is. Good morning, caller. You are... Oh, they didn't stick around during the break. Hopefully they will call back. 918-336-1400, the telephone number to call. And we're talking about, establishing that garden plan, and Larry can do that for you. If you kept track of what things did well for you last year, then you'll have at least a basis to work from this year.
Right. People ask me sometimes, should I use tree paint after pruning or trimming trees?
Yeah.
And there's kind of a rule of thumb on that. if it's bigger around than your thumb, yes.
Okay.
But some people don't use it. Some people do.
Mm-hmm.
I know our tree expert in town, if he's listening, he uses it.
Okay. And, that says a lot right there.
So, yeah, it's good. It helps keep the animals and the insects and the fungus.
Fungus gets in a lot of places.
It does. Yeah. It's among us everywhere. So, anyway, that sort of keeps it keeps it under control.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, use tree paint. Okay. I like the aerosol type. It's real handy, easy to use. It's not as sloppy. You don't get all over your fingers as the brush-on type.
Right.
Some people insist on the brush-on type, and some people like the spray-on type.
They both can be effective.
Very effective, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's method of application is your choice.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And some people are asking, how far back can I trim my roses at this time?
Okay. Were we talking drift roses or traditional?
Any kind of rose, really, yeah.
Okay.
It's time to cut them back. Kevin, get out your chainsaw. Time to cut back those knockouts.
Okay.
I know I've got to do mine this weekend. I did the Julia Child rose last weekend, and now this time the knockouts get on the other side of the house.
Okay.
So cut them back about 12 to 18 inches tall.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure you have an open branching structure on it, and they should do okay.
Okay.
And I made a very conscious effort to cut it at a node, and with the bud on that branch cutting pointing outwards, to make a broader shape to it. If you don't follow what I mean.
Yeah. I do, but I've heard that explanation a few times. But so because if you get a bud pointing outward, then that would be where the next direction of travel, so to speak, would be.
Right, that'd be the abria.
Exactly.
That'd be the next branch, or the the next stem coming up would come from that one top bud.
Okay.
So, yeah, and you want that one to go outward. You don't want it to go inwards, because then you get conflicting wood.
Another duel in the rosebush garden.
Yeah, really. They keep you up all night. So anyway, be sure to trim them properly. And do use some tree paint on the tip. My grandmother would use fingernail polish on the tips of her roses when she cut them back.
So her, even right after trimming, the roses are nice, bright, and red. Or pink, or whatever.
Well, yeah, you put it on the rose chain.
Right.
So.
Well, still, you might have enough color to see it from the street, depending on how far away it was.
Depending on how vulgar the color is, too, I guess.
Well, I was trying to think, use those colors that you shouldn't have bought to begin with because you didn't like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, use those of them on your roses, yeah. So you might want to trim them back right now. And in your house plants, look at them really carefully because I notice our the one house plant that survived the cats has some aphids on it.
Oh.
So you want to watch, look at them, and make sure you don't have insect infestations on your houseplants.
Mm-hmm.
That's very important. And the safe thing to use in the house is a ready-to-use pyrethrin-type insecticide meant for the inside the house. Mm-hmm. It doesn't smell, and it's not toxic to use. It's not harmful for the cats or the dogs or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the insects don't like it too well, but... it's basically made from chrysanthemums. A lot of times it's a synthesized. I'm having troubles today. Synthesized pyrethroid extract.
There are certain words I try to avoid too. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. So, made up. But yeah. It made up.
It's man-made.
Yeah, man-made pyrethrins. Yeah, and they're very effective in controlling houseplants, insects. So.
Yeah.
I like to use a little soapy water too. That'll work too if you're conscientious about that. You might consider using soapy water.
Just since you brought up houseplants in general, you've got an environment that the plant is not made for, so to speak, because the furnace is running or humidity is much more variable throughout the day than it would be in a natural environment.
Yeah, that is true. And you be aware of the amount of water, and that's the biggest question we get is how often do I water this? And I say, well, water it when it gets dry, you know.
Well, if
that's the best advice I can give.
If it's actively growing, it's going to use more water just because, even as opposed to.
Very true.
Yeah.
But the surface of the soil of the pot will dry out before the bottom. And if you keep the surface moist all the time, the bottom is going to be really, really wet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we get root rot and you get fungus gnats and other things coming up out of it. So you really want to try to avoid keeping it overly wet. Let it get not toasty dry, you know, crispy, shriveled up dry. Just let it get sort of dry on the surface before you water again.
Okay.
And it should do okay.
Does the plant give you any signs that it's looking for more water? It looks a little wilty?
It looks like, you know, a wet sheet in the clothesline, yeah. The leaves just hanging down, yeah. But inside the house, it's very rare when plants really get that dry.
Okay.
Because most of them are in plastic pots.
Right.
And it's impermeable. The water can't get through it. If you have a clay pot plant, it's one of the better things to use is a clay pot.
Okay.
Because there is some aeration, a little bit of porosity in the clay,
mm-hmm.
and the dryness occurs more uniformly.
Okay.
So slow watering is a real good way to water them, too. And that can be in the form of one of those inverted little globe things.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen those.
Right.
And ice cubes.
How many ice cubes per day? Is there a rule of thumb? Or
no.
Is it, that's what I thought. But
just whenever it needs it. I'd say no more than three or so ice cubes. So.
Yeah, which, of course, depending on the temperature in your room, it still can take several hours for that ice cube to melt and soak in nice and slowly.
Nice and slowly soaks in. The plant can utilize the water. It doesn't run out on the ground, sit in a saucer, and rot the roots that way. It's administered real slow. So dehydrated water is really good to use on your plants.
Okay.
Dehydrated water. Yeah.
I like that, yeah.
We talked about the lawn weeds,
yes.
Moles and everything else, and trimming, tree paint and so on, the trimming. What can I use, what kind of plants can I plant to help the birds?
Good idea. Yeah.
We've got a lot of birds in the backyard.
Yes.
I like to use the black oil sunflower seeds.
Okay.
They really go for that.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of the other bird seed, they just kick most of it out and
Leave
it for the squirrels, or it just kind of grows in your yard and then ferments, you know.
Yes.
So, but they really, they don't waste very many of the sunflower seeds. They really go after those.
And I would guess most species of birds would go after those, where maybe you might find some others that are really, you know, I don't know, cherry seeds or something. But again, it depends on the species. But those black seeds seem to go for everybody.
They go for everybody. The wrens and the sparrows and all those, they really go for that. And blue jays occasionally will go. But the robins really prefer the deciduous holly I have planted not too far away from that.
Uh-huh.
And at one point around Christmas around there, I don't know, we kind of like five of them in this one plant. They're just munching as fast as they could on these deciduous holly berries on them. So, and I noticed one was carrying a cherry laurel cherry out of the cherry laurels I use for screen plant, and they like those too.
Yeah.
So just provide some food for them. You don't have to provide, you know, seed all the time, but you just have some plants that they really like. And overwintering seeds, like species of holly and cherry laurel and so on, they really go for.
Okay. 918-336-1400, and we are inviting your phone calls this morning on Green Country Gardener.
Jensen Tractor Ranch, the New Holland team for you. If there's a tractor in your future, Jensen's got it. For most any application you might need, we've got the power and attachments. We're first in hay equipment, part service, lawn and garden, and full values guaranteed. Jensen Tractor Ranch, Bartlesville's New Holland team. If you're making hay, we've got your hay equipment. We're helpful and professional, it's all here. Go south on 75 till that big highway divides. You know you're far enough when that big blue field appears. If there's a tractor in your future, Jensen's got it. Jensen Tractor Ranch, saving prices guaranteed. Bartlesville's New Holland team.
AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1, and we're continuing this, opening program for 2016 with Larry Glass and talking about some of the things that you do need to do around the garden in or outside the house this time of year, and also thinking about, get out the seed catalogs and see what you want to put in the vegetable garden.
Oh, yes. Yeah. We got my
Burpees or somebody?
Burpees, Gurneys, yeah. All those seed catalogs, and look through that, and, well, I'd like to try this tomato this year, and so on, so on, yeah. All these different new stuff you can try out.
Geneticists, so. I think, have been busy again this year.
Yeah, I kind of like the heirloom tomatoes. I've had very good luck with those, so you might give those a shot. They're not always available, though, in the we do carry some heirloom plants that are up and growing already, but if there's something different that you want and you see in the catalog, well, just order it, and start planting it. So it's not quite time to do that yet, but first of March or so, you want to start thinking about starting your tomatoes. You don't want to start them too soon.
No, they'll be ready to plant, and the ground will still be cold.
Big old stringy plants all over the house. you want to start them to the point where they're about this tall, about 9 inches or so tall.
Okay.
In April the 15th, and usually that's about the 1st of March. And so don't worry about it now, but anyway, pick them out.
Yeah.
So anyway, plants that the birds really like, the serviceberry, they like very well.
Okay.
We were talking about birds earlier.
Right. So. Yes, we were.
And blueberries, they really like those.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. You don't get very many blueberries sometimes for the birds. And the blueberries do prefer acid soil. They're ericaceous.
Okay.
Like azaleas, other things. That means they require an acidic type soil. So plant them like you do azaleas when you do plant blueberries. We carry some blueberries. We have some right now, in fact.
Oh, great.
Back in the shade house. They're wintered in right now. But they'll do very well in the ground if you decide you want some blueberries. We got some.
Great.
the prunus species, Carolina and black cherry and choke cherries, they really like. The blackberries, dewberries, etc. Rhamnus is another one they kind of like too. Cornus, dogwoods. The Korean dogwood has a interesting seed cluster on it after it blooms. It looks a bit like a raspberry.
Oh, okay.
Birds kind of like those. And crab apples, viburnums, hawthorns, privets, and hollies, and deciduous holly, of course, is a favorite. They don't like mahonias that well. Or nandinas, if they're really desperate, they'll go after the nandina berries. the Barberry family.
Those are somewhere well down on the list of preferred fruit, though, right?
Exactly. Sort of like the last thing on the grocery shelf. Well, I guess we'll live on it, they sort of wait till the end on that one.
Yeah.
But the nandinas is another one they will eventually go for. And other members of the Barberry family, too. They sort of like the mahonias and whatnot.
If you're using a bird feeder, be aware of how the squirrels may want to get into it. So hang it someplace where the birds can eat in peace.
I took shepherd's hook and used that to hold up a bird feeder.
Okay.
And it's hard, kind of hard for the squirrel to get up, and it's suspended from that with a weed eater string. And it moves around a lot. And the little birds like that. The big birds can't land on it, just for the little birds. The big birds have a big saucer on there full of sunflower seeds they go for.
Okay.
So, and the squirrels don't like something that hangs like that.
No.
Because they'll just fall.
Yeah.
So, if it's sturdily mounted on a post, they're going to like it. But it's hanging from with a narrow, and it can swing a lot. The squirrels just...
Yeah, but that's too unstable for them.
They'll learn that they can jump, and then it shuts the seed off when they get their weight on it. But birds generally aren't that heavy, so they don't do it. So there are all kinds of ways.
Okay.
The squirrels. You could feed the squirrels at a different part of the yard, too, perhaps, with the little corn cob things they really like. So whatever.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's kind of feeding the birds. Tree of the week would be sycamore trees.
Oh, okay.
All that. Yeah. I think it's kind of an ugly tree otherwise, but it's something you don't want near your house or near the sewer lines or stuff like that, because its root system can be kind of invasive.
It'll just go through anything.
Leaf anthracnose is a problem with sycamores. They get it in the spring, and people bring in these leaves and they, oh, my tree is dying. Well, it's just leaf anthracnose. It'll be all right. It sounds worse than it is, really.
It sounds horrible. Sounds fatal.
And if we have a lot of rain, everything gets it. And the leaves are all distorted and everything else. So, but anyway, they get that. And the sycamore trees tend to drop branches and stuff all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So if you need a really big tree in the yard off away somewhere, you might consider a sycamore tree. But close to the house, it's an absolute no-no because they are so messy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a good tree to have. They're very strong, very tough, very durable trees. They're very adaptable to our soil type and everything else.
So that's 2 points for them.
Mm-hmm. But they're just kind of messy. So if you've got a big lawn or somewhere and you want some big tree cover, something nice and tall to screen off something really big far away, then they'll work very well. Or just some trees.
Well, yeah, they are. So mm-hmm. it's a beautiful tree. Mm-hmm. But like you said, it does drop branches seemingly all the time.
There are some, yeah. There are other species that get big too, but not as quick. And those would be your northern red oak and your Schumard oak and all that. They get really big over a fairly short period of time, but not as fast as a sycamore tree would. So you might put a blending of different trees in there. When the sycamore tree dies, then you'll have a big oak tree there.
Okay.
There too. So use different species together. So anyway, it's one to consider. Keep it away. The fruit that falls off of can be a nuisance, but keep it away from the house and sewer lines, utility lines, and things.
Okay, so you have to know more than, do I have enough enough geography to put it? You would need to know where the sewer line is and do a little bit of locating that way.
Exactly. So it's a good tree to have. And there, like I said, there are others that get big, but this one has a very unique bark to it. It's kind of really pretty,
mm-hmm.
very nice. But not near the house.
Okay.
Okay. And some people have a shady spot in the yard. They want a green shrub.
Mm-hmm.
And they planted this and that and everything else. They just don't work. What will work in a shady spot? Just a green shrub. Well, yews do very well. And yews.
Mm-hmm.
It's the shrub of the week, basically.
Oh, okay.
Yews are available in various sizes and forms, from the low spreading English yew to the upright Irish yew to the in the media varieties, so the densiformis and the brown eye and the wart I use are different, the media type use. So,
okay.
There's Taxus baccata and Taxus media and so on. So then you get the species after that. So,
mm-hmm.
But anyway.
Taxonomy can be confusing sometimes.
But yeah. So the one of the most popular use is the densiformis yew, or densiformis yew.
Okay.
And as the name implies, it has a very dense form. And this one you can manipulate real easily as far as trimming it up into a hedge or letting it go as at a natural shape. The yews, I think, have a very beautiful natural shape. So make sure you have plenty of room for them when you plant them. If you pick a Japanese yew, mm-hmm. just a standard stock Japanese yew, they have somewhat of a thin branching structure, and they spray way out these big long branches.
Yeah.
It can be very attractive. In the right situation, in a kind of a forced situation or a naturalized sort of situation, the Japanese yew does very well.
So they require a bunch of trimming when they're doing all this spreading? Or
depends on where they're placed and how they're used.
Okay.
If you want a very diaphanous screen that's very kind of spread out and all that,
mm-hmm.
meaning not very dense,
right.
moderate screen, the Japanese yew would be a very good one.
Okay.
But the densiformis yew will grow like that, but as it grows denser. Yeah. So they all have their function. The brown eye yew is a little round one that people put around their yard. It's very compact and round and so on. It makes a nice little hedgy kind of poodle kind of plant that you can do.
Poodle type, okay. Hadn't thought about
that.
In
other words, they can be shaped up and made round or square or whatever. But I wouldn't do that to a Japanese yew. It just will not work.
Okay.
So keep in mind when picking out a plant in the shade like that, and there are some shady spots here in town.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to do with this thing? What do you want it to look like? Do you want this green box up by the front door, or do you want something natural or whatever? And there's so many different varieties of the yew species that they'll fit just about any need. One of my favorites is the Irish yew.
Mm-hmm.
It's a narrow, upright-growing Irish yew. It's about a foot around. It goes straight up. And it gets about 8 feet tall or so.
Wow.
It's a really interesting plant. And very well behaved. So yews in the shade is you in the shade, or me or whoever, is a good plant to have in different situations for different uses, different functions, different sizes, and different densities, and so on. So it's really kind of a design thing, which one you use.
Okay, well, without getting into all the semantics of IMU, we'll take a break and be back in just a moment.
It's never too early or too late in the season to add indoor tropical plants and cactus to your home. Right now, Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has tropical and indoor plants and a variety of cactus to choose from. For outdoor landscaping, Green Thumb has trees and shrubs to choose from at 30% off. Clay pots are on sale too. And while shopping Green Thumb, be sure to check out their large selection of sale items. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on the Water Road. Open Friday and Saturday only from 10 till 4.
Enterprise Sod Store has everything you need to make your lawn and garden spectacular. They have mulch, topsoil, even gravel for driveways, all sold in bulk quantities and at bulk pricing, saving you money. All materials Enterprise sells can be delivered, saving you time. Start your lawn and landscaping projects today. Call the sod experts, Enterprise Sod Store at 918-333-6888 or stop by and see them at 3410 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville.
When you're building the home you've always wanted, look to 400 Series windows and patio doors from the brand most trusted by builders and remodelers, Anderson. With variety, style, and time-tested performance, it's no wonder they are our most popular windows and doors. 400 Series windows and doors from Anderson. Why choose anything else? See Anderson Windows at Overlees Woods Lumber Company on Nowata Road in Bartlesville.
AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1, and Green Country Gardener continues. We have a caller. Good morning. You're on the air with Larry Glass.
Yes, I was wanting to know, talking about bigger trees, what would you plant in a smaller yard with sewage lines always involved?
It depends on the age of the sewer lines, too. If it's been recent then they're made of PVC, then you can probably plant most anything.
But I don't want it to interfere with, like, power lines. But yeah. I need a lot of, you know, like, shade.
Uh-huh. You might consider a Chinese pistache.
Okay.
It does very well in a confined situation, and it's very deeply rooted, and I really haven't seen any incidents of it causing problems with sewer lines.
Or power lines?
Power line. Well, it gets about 30 feet tall.
About 30 feet tall?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty tall, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty tall.
They're going to try to trim it somewhere around the 15 or 20 foot line, so don't get it real close to the power line.
Yeah, if you're going close to power lines, you might consider things like dogwoods and yopon hollies and deciduous hollies and things like that that are basically big shrubs or smaller trees like that.
I see. Okay. All right. Well, that was my question.
All right. Well, thank you for calling.
Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you for the call, and Happy New Year to you. And, you've got to look both directions, the sewer lines, the power lines that might be buried, or the power lines that are overhead.
If your sewer line is a PVC line, chances are it won't be a problem. Unless there's a broken joint or something, then you got a problem anyway.
Yeah, but not your plant's problem.
Typically, those are already sealed broken. Up. If you have an old alumite line or whatever that paper stuff was, they used to make tar and paper,
mm-hmm.
and the alumite. Or the older one, or the even clay tile.
I was going to say, even the clay tile. Yeah,
you plant a dandelion, you get roots in your clay tiles. So if you got one of those old ones, there isn't really any tree that will not cause a problem.
Okay.
Boy, that tree of the week, Larry.
Whew. You know, you look, and they use them a lot in street trees. Sycamores and London plane trees.
Well,
they're used an awful lot.
We used to have a sycamore.
Yeah.
In a house we had, and kids were little and said, hey, we gotta go pick up sticks before we even mow.
Yeah.
And they hated that tree.
Yeah.
They hated that tree.
They're a mess.
They are a mess.
But I see them used a lot in urban situations, which I think is a mistake.
Yeah.
That's about as bad as using sweet gum trees or something like that in the city, you know.
That's the other thing.
They're a mess.
They need to be away.
Uh-huh. Away.
They
away,
look
away.
Good long way out there.
They do, uh-huh. So, there are other trees. You can choose live oaks.
Live oaks are awesome trees.
Yeah, no, you like those?
Awesome.
Water oaks do very well. I like the small leaf on the water oak.
They just kind of get down in the grass and they don't...
Exactly. They don't bother anything.
And your... lace-bark elms.
Lace-bark elms are an excellent plant.
Excellent
plant. So there are a lot of them out there. You don't have to pick the bad trees. There are a lot of good trees out there.
There is. And you have them at Green Thumb.
We do. We've got some really nice water oaks right now. Beautiful pistache trees.
And now's the time to get them in the ground.
Now's the time to get those planted in the ground.
And they'll look really good about March and April.
They start to leaf out, yeah. So,
yes.
With that in mind, Charlie, it looks like we're just about out of time.
Sharpen it up.
Sharp.
Keep that shovel good and sharp, and keep those pruning shears sharp because it's time to cut back your trees.
Okay. We'll mention also consult the city's tree ordinance that will give you some guidance on that as well.
You don't want to plant something and have to cut it down.
Exactly. News on the way in just a little bit from CBS. And, of course, your items to buy, sell, trade, or give away coming up when Consumer Calls on the other side of news coming up in just a bit.
Not feeling well? Visit Bartlesville Urgent Care across from Washington Park.